Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told the crowds and his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees have succeeded Moses as teachers. Therefore, do everything and observe everything they tell you, but do not follow their example. Their words are bold, but their deeds are few. They bind up heavy loads, hard to carry, to lay on other men's shoulders, while they themselves will not lift a finger to budge them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and wear huge tassels. They have found the places of honor at banquets and the front seats in synagogues, of marks of respect in public and of being called rabbi. As to you, avoid the title rabbi. One among you is your teacher, the rest are learners. Do not call anyone on earth your father. Only one is your father, the one in heaven. Avoid being called teachers. Only one is your teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you be the one who serves the rest. Whatever a man exalts himself, in that he shall be humbled. But whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. On the feast of St. Patrick, I think you should see something about St. Patrick. There are a few names in the Church's history that are more famous than that of St. Patrick. And the last one on earth would be Patrick himself, who had claimed credit for his fame. I believe there are especially three virtues of St. Patrick that should be reflected on and imitated. First of all, his deep, simple faith. Then, his humility. And then his boundless zeal to convert souls to Christ. Patrick had a very deep faith. Simple, but deep. In today's sophisticated world, how we need, how desperately we need to beg God to deepen our faith. And among the truths of faith that Patrick held, as he said more than once, even willing to die for that faith, were his faith in the Holy Eucharist and his faith in the Vicar of Christ. I know of no two articles of our faith that are being more challenged than these two today. His deep humility. Read what is called the Confession of St. Patrick. paragraph after paragraph, almost sentence after sentence, is the language of a very humble person. How, he said, how God could possibly have chosen a man like me to bring your gospel to these people. The last thing that Patrick ever did was boast of his own achievements. We couldn't have a better gospel than the one we've just read. Humility. Wondering. Marveling. Stupefied that God would choose a man like him to do the work of the Lord. How we need today, especially among the leaders in the church, our bishops, pray for humility among the successors of the apostles. Humility and giving God credit for everything in our lives. And finally, a boundless zeal, traveling, preaching, and in constant threat of his own life because of the enemies that he made. Last week, I was in Chicago. The week before, a multimillionaire drove from Chicago, Detroit, here to make a private retreat. Among the decisions he had to make was whether we should buy one of the 60 empty churches in Chicago now on sale. Call me again last night. Should I buy that church? Yes, buy it. Hundreds of thousands of poor people in the slums of Chicago. Those with money moved off. I've been working for 17 years with the Missionaries of Charity. I have only the highest praise for having, well, soup kitchens and places of refuge for the poor. But the real poverty is poverty of spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How we need something of the zeal of St. Patrick to bring that food which alone can sustain us into eternal life. How the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Hare Krishnas, how they put me to shame when I think of their zeal. Please God, we will learn from St. Patrick something of what we in our country so desperately need. A deep, simple faith. Great humility and zeal to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the millions in our nation who do not have the true faith in our groping and darkness. And we can bring the gospel to them. St. Patrick, Apostle of Ireland, and model of zeal for souls, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was starting to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 aside on the road and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem now. There the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, who will condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles to be made sport of and flogged and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised up." The mother of Zebedee's sons came up to him, accompanied by her sons, to do him homage and ask of him a favor. "What is it you want?" he said. She answered, "Promise me that these sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and the other at your left, in your kingdom." In reply, Jesus said, "Do not you know what you are doing? Can you drink of the cup that I am to drink?" "We can," they said. He told them, "From the cup I drink of, you shall drink. Sitting at my right hand or my left is not mine to give. That is for those for whom it has been reserved by my Father." The other 10, on hearing this, became indignant at the two brothers. Jesus then called them together and said, "You know how those who exercise authority among the Gentiles lord it over them? Their great ones make their importance felt. It cannot be like that with you. Anyone among you who aspires to greatness must serve the rest, and whoever wants to rank first must serve the needs of all. Such is the case with the Son of Man, who has come not to be served by others, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many." This is the gospel of the Lord. During the season of Lent, if there is one truth that the church wants to bring out, it is that if we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, like him, we must pay the price. What is the price? The price is, dare I say, nonsense to the modern world. To follow Christ, we must be humble. If you want to follow Christ, serve others, be at their disposal. To follow Christ, we must be willing to be misunderstood, ostracized, persecuted, and put to death. As I speak here, morning after morning, to a group that have the faith, I'm encouraged, but I have no illusions, none whatever, how widespread is unbelief in the modern world. We know what Christ taught, who he claimed to be, and why he came into the world. Christ came into the world to save the world from the consequences of sin. And the result was, he was opposed, condemned to death, and crucified. Life in this world is very short. They don't seem like years, and the closer you get to eternity, the years seem like months, and the months like days. Whatever else we need, especially during this season of Lent, we must beg our Lord to be willing, in order to serve him faithfully, pay whatever it costs, whatever it costs, to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Last week, I was in Chicago. 60 empty churches for sale. In Detroit, God knows, 40 or more empty churches. My prayer, my earnest plea to God is that we, I have to use the verb, wake up to what is going on in our nation. Pray that our Lord may open the eyes and the hearts of those who still have the Catholic faith. How specific I could be, so that Christ's passion and death will not have been in vain. We have a duty. We, in Detroit, in Jesu Parish, have a duty to evangelize and re-evangelize our fellow citizens, so that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, may not have died in vain. Dear Lord, open our eyes, we beg you. Open our hearts, we beg you, to cooperate with you and pay the price that you paid, in order that your passion and death may not have been in vain. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. How happy are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. Continually they sing your praise. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The parents of Jesus used to go every year to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12, they went up for the celebration, as was their custom. As they were returning at the end of the feast, the child Jesus remained behind, unknown to his parents. Thinking he was in the party, they continued their journey for a day, looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. On the third day, they came upon him at the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his intelligence and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? You see that your father and I have been searching for you in sorrow." He said to them, "Why do you search for me? Did you not know that I have to be in my father's house?" But they did not grasp what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. On the feast of Saint Joseph, the patron of the universal church, we should see something of how Jesus was protected by Saint Joseph during Christ's physical life on earth, so that now the mystical Christ is being protected by Saint Joseph. In the providence of God, Christ was to have been conceived and born of a virgin. There was no way, human speaking, that God could achieve that purpose unless there was a Joseph to protect and ensure the reputation of Mary, who by everyone else, that is Jesus, was considered the son of Joseph. Christ himself had to maintain his reputation. So he did. And again, from Mary's conception until the death of Joseph, Jesus was considered the natural son of Joseph. Joseph protected Jesus, even as we know physically, when he and Mary took the child Jesus and flew to Egypt. When God wants something done, especially something mysterious that is beyond the comprehension of human beings, he will provide. He provided for the moral integrity and the public reputation of both Mary and Jesus by providing Saint Joseph. But Joseph lived up to his role in the life of Jesus and Mary. There is not one recorded word of Joseph in the Gospels. How we need to learn from Joseph the importance of the virtue of prudence, especially in our speech. Most people can talk without thinking twice. Some people can talk without thinking, period. Saint Joseph can teach us many things, but over the years, in speaking on this protector of Jesus and Mary and protector of the church, my stress has always been on the humility of Joseph, on his exercise of authority over Jesus. Even though Joseph was the creature and Christ was the creator, and on Saint Joseph's mastery of the tongue. If there is one virtue that we should learn from Saint Joseph, and may I suggest, and I'm telling myself this, that today, in the quincentennial year of the discovery of America, on the feast of Saint Joseph, we ask him to obtain for us something of his deep, deep, silent love of Jesus and Mary, because it is by our silent, prudent, humble love of Jesus and Mary that we best imitate the patron of the universal church and grow in that relationship with Jesus and Mary, which we most desperately need. One last thought. I recommend every day that we pray for the grace of a happy death, that like Saint Joseph, as tradition tells us, we too, like him, may die in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Saint Joseph, patron of the universal church, Joseph most prudent, Joseph most loyal, Joseph the great lover of Jesus and Mary, obtain for us the greatest grace we need, the grace to die in the company, in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. With all your heart, turn to me, for I am tender and compassionate. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Listen to this parable. There was a property owner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug out a vat, and erected a tower. Then he leased it out to tenant farmers and went on a journey. When vintage time arrived, he dispatched his slaves to the tenants to obtain his share of the grapes. The tenants responded by seizing the slaves. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. A second time, he dispatched even more slaves than before, but they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' When they saw the son, the tenants said to one another, 'Here is the one who will inherit everything. Let us kill him, and then we shall have his inheritance.' With that, they seized him, dragged him outside the vineyard, and killed him. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do to those tenants when he comes?' They replied, 'He will bring that wicked crowd to a bad end and lease his vineyard to others who will see to it that his grapes at vintage time are harvested.' Jesus said to them, 'Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the keystone of the structure'? It was the Lord who did this, and we find it marvelous to behold. For this reason I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will yield a rich harvest.' When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they realized he was speaking about them. Although they sought to arrest him, they had reason to fear the crowds who regarded him as a prophet." This is the gospel of the Lord. If there is one thing that the Church wants us to understand during the season of Lent, it is that Jesus Christ was rejected by his own people. 2,000 years of prophecy, one prophet after another, foretelling the coming of the Messiah. Finally, he came, and they killed him. If there is one thing we had better understand, it is that if we're going to follow Christ, we will not be accepted by the world. To follow Christ means to share in the experiences of Christ. People want to be accepted. People want to be respected. People want to be loved. People want to be cared for. People want. What do we want? We want the people with whom and among whom we live to be one of them. We dread rejection. I don't mean violent rejection by being thrown into prison or killed, but we dread the thousands of ways in which people can reject us. A turning of the face, a closing of the eyes, a frown. Yet, it is human respect that keeps so many otherwise good believing Catholics from being true followers of Jesus Christ. I know. Lord Jesus, you, the living God, did nothing but practice heroic charity. You taught nothing but divine truth. Yet, the world into which you came with only a few exceptions rejected you, did not accept you, and for 2,000 years we have a symbol of how God is accepted by the world. Your cross. Dear Jesus, give us the wisdom to see what you are teaching us, but above all, the courage to be faithful to you, no matter what, especially those whom we may dearly love, will do to us. As you told us, dear Savior, if you are ashamed of me here on earth, I will be ashamed of you in eternity. Give us the courage, dear Savior, not to be slaves of human respect. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.